on a special weekend edition of Josh Jason's Punch Out. I have a debuting guest, myself and Mike Della Camera, a Wrestling Observer columnist who helps preview AEW pay-per-views for us, stops by, and we talk about what else? AEW All Out coming up on Sunday. And we also talk about this past weekend's All In. The All Out card is it's something, and we'll get it to it right now on Josh Jason's Punch Out. Well, I'm very excited this week to have somebody that I've not had on before. He's actually never been on before. As I'm saying this, you see my hands. I'm doing the hand gestures, Mike, because I was telling you I was going to do, even though I'm not recording this for video. He is a columnist for our very website, WrestlingObserver.com. He's been doing AEW previews for, I think, almost since inception, I believe. Not his inception, AEW's inception, of course. And also used to do some NXT previews back in the day when TakeOvers were really a thing. And all good stuff. Mike Della Camera, welcome to Josh Jason's Punch Out for the very first time and your very first ever podcast appearance. So glad to have you aboard.
Thanks, Josh. Did we really need to tell everybody this is my first time? I mean, come on.
Yeah. Yes. Come on. Yes, we did. Yeah, because now the audience gets more sympathetic. And, you know, they're just like, all right, we'll use him a lot. But I'm like I was telling before, I'm a grizzled vet when it comes to new timers. So, you know, it's we'll be all good. You'll probably do better than I will in speaking.
We'll see about that.
So I want to talk to you for a while, but it's good. But this is actually the perfect week, as we know, as we're talking on a Thursday night here. Right dead set in the middle of not one, but two AEW pay-per-views. All In, of course, just happened. All Out, just a couple days away. And you do, obviously, the previews for our website, as I was mentioning. I'm doing some via our website for SI.com. And I was reading yours as I edit them every time out. And I submitted mine. And I was reading your All In preview. And I'm like, you and I are thinking like almost exactly alike on so many different things. And then it's fine if people disagree. But I was just like, yeah, this is, I guess I'm not the only one that thinks that this, you know, some of the matches should feel bigger. To paraphrase, it should have more of that WrestleMania card feel. Mm-hmm. Like if you're going to have the WrestleMania audience, it should have that WrestleMania like matches up and down the card. And that was kind of one of my issues with it. And then you also mentioned, which we'll get to, is that one of the problems is All Out, because it was a thing of, well, we can't fully load up All In because what about All Out here? And it's like, well, did we have to have All Out here? So you talked a lot about some similar things in that, which I appreciated. And now we're here, we're, you know, a few days past All In. What did you think overall of the show? And, you know, what are some of the things, I guess, going into it that, I want to say cemented some of your thoughts or something that may have changed some of your thoughts as well?
Yeah. I think about All In, I think by any objective measure, it was an absolute tremendous success, right? They blew the building out. The matches all hit. Whether, you know, personal preference aside, whether you liked them, whether you didn't like them, I think that they were all levels of good to very good. I don't think that there was a great match on the card that we're going to think about, you know, long after, you know, All In is in the rearview mirror. And I think part of that is because of what you and I have kind of agreed on without actually talking about it, is they were booking for two shows at the same time.
Right.
And listen, I love having big ideas and big plans, but sometimes what AEW runs into problems with is they need somebody level-headed in the room to say like, hey guys, why are we doing so much? Like, let's take a step back. We have all this great talent. We have all these great resources. We don't need to consistently be adding matches to a card 4 hours before the show.
Right.
And that is a consistent theme that this company does pay-per-view after pay-per-view, big show after big show.
It's like the Steve Jobs, but one more thing approach, right? We're just going to add something in and something in. Something I found, I know you do, you go to a lot of indie shows, or at least you did. You had in the past. I think you probably
in my youth. Yeah,
my youth. But one thing I've noticed, and I primarily go to one indie, which is Limitless out of Maine. Mm-hmm. Again, just because family and commitment and all that stuff. The card will start at like 7:30, and usually it's over by around like 10:30. And it's perfect because you don't, and that includes an intermission, like a 20 minute thing. So it's perfect because you don't get, it's not too much. It leaves you wanting a little bit more for next time. You don't feel cheated. And especially, you know, especially with indie matches, not every match needs to be main event, you know, back and forth at the end, like so many indie matches are. So you have some shorter stuff, some longer stuff. And I've liked that. And I think, you know, kind of how that ties in AEW is that you don't necessarily need all these different matches and all these different, like, here's another one, here's another one, here's another one. You could do a shorter pay-per-view because you have all this other TV real estate with Dynamite and Collision and things like that. Like, there are some things that you don't, in Rampage, that you don't need. They could say, okay, let's leverage this and make this, you know, the TV shows even bigger, or, you know, that's the thing with such a talent roster, they can do more with it. And the pay-per-views, I don't know if it's a question of they want to pack in value or try to do so much, but sometimes when you put so much into a show, it's hard to kind of like, it's hard to have the big things kind of stick out because you're just deluged. At the end of the night, you're just kind of like, oh my God, it's 11:30 at night. And, you know, we're just kind of starting to go in the main event.
I remember when MJF and Danielson had the 60-minute Iron Man match. And when that was first announced, I just like quietly cried because I knew that wasn't going on until like what, 10:57 at the earliest and on a school night, no less.
And
to your point about the deluge of content, I completely agree. And that's when everything kind of feels like homogenized in the same. Everybody gets 11 minutes and we got everybody on the show. And that was another one of the things that kind of had me raising an eyebrow about All In, was it felt like this is a get everybody on the show kind of card.
Yeah.
Which I understand. You know, WrestleMania, they have the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. They'll have, you know, the 8 tag team matches, whatever. This is arguably the biggest wrestling event in this generation of wrestling, right? It needed to be more than get everybody on the card. It needed to have top draws in top positions. And yeah, like Danielson's injured, and I'm sure that killed a lot of plans. But it is just a consistent refrain with them where they'll just throw everything at the wall and see if something lands. And the shows are always good. So it's this weird revisionist history thing.
Yeah.
The shows are all good and they wind up good, but could they be better? Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for the one thing, and I've talked about this before, is that I really wonder how much they're trying to get how much they're trying to attract in new fans. You know, are there, because we live so much in the wrestling bubble and everyone basically talked to is in it. It's hard to get a unique perspective. And usually the people who get outside have zero interest in watching wrestling at all. You're trying to find some of those people like, I've seen some WWE stuff. I'm going to give it a shot. I have no idea. Like, are there kind of like inroads, or there's just like, is it just too daunting? Cause it feels like it's just not accessible. And I wonder, especially like with these pay-per-views and stuff, is it a case of there, you know, are people just like it's just, I get it. I've always found, let me see if I'm trying to say, the conversion rates. It's kind of like a big thing. You have like 850,000 people that watch Dynamite, right? Mm-hmm. But you may have like 140,000 people that buy a pay-per-view. Now, you know, some of those people are definitely pirating, right? And doing things like that. But are there cases, people just like, I'm good. You know, this is kind of what I'm all good with this. And are they trying to, with the, you know, late announcements of cards, with the with some of the things where it doesn't feel like the big match, it feels like a tag team match, it'll eventually lead to the big match, you know, 3 months down the road. Does that make it hard for some people? Like, I'm going to wait because I really want to see this, but it's just, you know, this card isn't for me. I'm always kind of curious about that because it seems that there's, with WWE, it feels like so many things try to peak at the right time. Like, we're trying to peak at the right moments. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But generally, there's always these destination points along the way. With AEW, and I think part of it, and we'll see what happens with the addition of pay-per-views there, you know, in October and so on and so forth, the peaks seem to hit at different times for different angles and for different things. And we still wait for some things. And we're still like, are we ever going to get this Keith Lee Swerve Strickland match that apparently is never going to happen?
We're never, right? Josh, we're not getting it. We are ever. Just simply never getting that.
It's strange. And, but so like with, you know, Omega Takeshi, and we'll talk about that. Like, I feel like everything was kind of peaking toward All In is the show. Cause you're going to have 81,000 people there, and this is going to be it. But all the angles on the show and the match on the show, very few felt like they kind of peaked to that moment. Even after, you know, there wasn't like direct lines to All Out, and we'll talk about more about that card in a minute. So it's a long way of saying that I don't know how accessible it is for newer viewers, or if it's bringing enough people along the way to be like, yeah, I want to watch this on pay-per-view.
I would agree with that. Part of me thinks that some of the things they do with the late match announcements might be because of just the way our brains are conditioned to consume content now, where a news cycle is 37 seconds long, mm-hmm. and like the Netflixing of our brains, where we want to binge something. And so it comes in and it comes out. So I wonder how much of that, maybe I'm giving them a little too much credit, is we're going to announce this late, so it's front of people's minds, so they're excited about it and they don't forget about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I do agree. Like I think we have definitely as a society moved past the things have to be promoted for months and months ahead of time, because what happens, like everyone's like, cool. And yeah, you're right. They do forget about it. I think there's with some angles, it does, you know, it is helpful to actually have build for weeks and weeks. Sometimes it can be too much. We've seen some of the WWE stuff, but like with the AEW stuff, like, and you know, for example, we're going to do Omega Takeshita in a second. This is something that has been built up through tag team matches and interference and things like that, but really hasn't been done in terms of the one-on-one promo in the middle. Now, Omega was unable to get to Dynamite because of Florida, whatever. We may see something on Saturday. We'll see. But I kind of needed that multi-week, just them. No ancillary members, no tag team matches, no nothing. One, two, obviously with Don Callis, and just some sort of face-to-face to really kind of get that boiling. And some of the show, the matches on All In didn't really have that either. But yeah, I mean, I think to your point, the show was really good. Very entertaining. It was helpful. It was in the afternoon, you know, it didn't, you know, we didn't have to go late into the night, but I mean, it was to your point, you kind of started this. It's a huge success. There's no other way. All the haters in the world, there's nothing they can say. Financially, it's a huge success. And we're getting another one, you know, and I mean, for that aspect of it, it was all good.
I mean, the haters are furious. They're crying. They're throwing up.
Yeah.
They're weeping. But this was, I think that it dawned on me when I saw the opening set and that this is WrestleMania. Mm. This felt like, well, great value WrestleMania, right? I mean, they had Fozzy perform instead of an actual musical act, right?
Yeah.
But they had the big stage. They did the outdoor thing. They did the pyro as much as they could. And I said, huh, okay, this is their WrestleMania. And now with it being next year in the same place, is this them putting down their tentpole? Like, we're running this every year. We're running this in London. Yeah. And that's the big question I have coming out of the show.
Yeah. And I don't think they have, they don't need to get like, and this is going to be this is going to be a narrative next year. If they sell 60,000 tickets, that's still really good. Most promotions would kill for that. But if somehow it's going to be seen as less of a success, if it does, but that's still, it's still great. You know, it's always trying to find something. I think sometimes people lose perspective if all of a sudden they look at a crowd of 18,000 when someone had 25,000. It's still like, that's a lot. And you think of like, there's AEW, WWEs, but I mean, Impact would love 60,000. I mean, they would love 6,000.
Yeah, I was right? Saying they'd love 1,200.
Yeah.
And that's a good product. That's no slant shade towards them.
It's
right?
Reality, yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's so many promotions that would love to be in that position where have detractors for, you know, 60,000, 70,000 people, but that'll happen next year. But yeah, I thought I liked how the set was not overwhelming in terms of like, it had a different look. Like it had this big stadium look, the hard cam and kind of like how they did. It felt very WrestleMania. I think it's really only the way you can do it.
Yeah.
But the set was different. It just had a different feel. But it felt like you could, that's the best way to say it. You could feel the crowd there. Like you could feel, and that's always the thing with stadium shows is, do you get a sense of all these people there? And it's always that hard cam shot, because you can just see this sea of people and backed and reacting to everything. I mean, that's like, those are the best shots, because it really gets the gravity of it. And I thought they did a really good job of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like it captured the spectacle and the scale of what it was. And I think something that really helped with that is the fact that it was in England and that crowd is so loud.
Yeah.
That crowd, and they sing and they chant. That was a really cagey move to bring it to a place that is frothing for this type of content. Yep. They love it. They wanted to be there. They were over the moon about it, and they showed up. So shout out to all those people with bad teeth that made it happen.
One match that exceeded expectations and one that fell below for you from All In.
Oh, the coffin match blew my expectations away. I got to stop underestimating Sting and just his presence and charisma of a, I mean, they came out to Metallica, so I was in, right? Yep. That could have been 3 minutes, one, two, three, everybody go home. But I think that match, I thought it was going to be good. I think it was probably my second favorite match on the show next to Punk and Joe, which I have a soft spot for both of them. If you want to give me a half an hour, I can talk about that. I would say that those both lived up to my expectations. The two that fell flat were kind of surprising to me. And falling flat is relative. They were both good. I was a little underwhelmed by the Elite, the Golden Elite and Bullet Club Gold and FTR and the Young Bucks.
Yeah.
And the thing that makes me the saddest is, are we ever going to get Kota Ibushi back, or is this just kind of what he is now?
I think it's what he is now.
I think so too.
Yeah. I was talking to a couple of the editors in our Slack chat that one of them, Joe, that came along with his first AEW show, which is Blood and Guts in the Garden. And you just see, and then Ibushi was, and I'm not like a big Ibushi like super fan. I can't say that, but just physically, he didn't look the same as he did before. But it's kind of like, all right, let's see. You can still, you know, guys that don't have aren't there can still work. He just seemed off. And granted, it was his first match in a long time. But I'm like, okay, this is going to be a big opportunity for him. And yeah, I didn't come away like, I think most people were kind of like, he just physically just doesn't have it, whatever that shoulder injury was or anything else that was going on with him, that it's done, you know, done to that level. Now it's a case of, can he reinvent himself in a way that will get him to a place where he feels comfortable, wants to be? And I think he has very great friends in wrestling, like Kenny Omega, that, right? Someone that could be like, could help kind of guide him along. You know what I mean? And just say, well, if you can't physically do this, what can you do, and how do you get the most out of that? You know, I think that's kind of just because a guy is, you know, has been dinged up over the years. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of wrestlers have done this through the decades, and they've just had to adjust, and some adjust, and all of a sudden they reinvent themselves, and that feeling's still there. And there's other ones, there's like, I need to do this, and if I can't do this, it's not me. And that could be him. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, look at Tanahashi, right? I think that's the easy example.
Yeah.
I mean, his tank is on 1/16th right now. He's on his way out, and that's a legend. But the past few years, he reinvented what he did in the ring. Samoa Joe slowed it down, leaned into being more of a brawler, being more of a bruiser. I mean, he always was, but now he's just this. Can I swear on this?
Yeah, go for it.
He's just big, hulking motherfucker.
Yeah.
Now, more than he's ever been. And I think that he's doing, this is the best he's ever been. It's just all comes together for him. But I think Ibushi, you always worry about the guys who rely on their athleticism to that degree, just in an incredibly physical and taxing style. And he is such a weirdo that, like, did he take care of himself? I don't know. This is the guy that thought if he like went to bed at a different time, he could gain an extra hour a day.
Yeah.
So like, how much is really like going on up there?
Yeah,
I hope it's fine, and I hope it works out. And I hope even if we get 80% of it, it's still really good. But
yeah,
it was a worry for me.
Yeah. I would also agree with the Young Bucks FTR match. I really enjoyed the second one that was in Boston. I thought that was really, I think, was that 2 out of 3 falls? I can't remember. That's the thing, is I wish there was some easy way to just go to an archive and, you know, an easy one to be like, I'm going to watch the first one, the second one. And they need the streaming service like yesterday. I've said this ad nauseum, but it's like, you know, almost at the end of 2023, like, let's go already. Yeah,
get the catalog. The back catalog is not that extensive. A couple interns in a room can upload every show in like 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very, very strange to me anyway. But yeah, I think it was kind of like, there was this build up for like, this has to be great. This will be great. Of course. I think I even wrote that. I was like, this is fine. And I was like looking at it and watching, and I'm like, am I forcing myself to think this is better than it is? And that's when you get yourself in like, maybe it's not. It's not bad, but I think given these two teams, I think that sometimes we assume, this is everyone, that you put these two great things together, these two great wrestlers, it has to click because that's what makes them both great. But sometimes it just doesn't work. It just, this, the flow doesn't work. The style doesn't work. The it just, it, for whatever reason, that level of greatness that we look for and that really just makes us go, wow, that was fucking awesome. It just doesn't happen. But other guys, maybe seen as less talented, less accomplished, whatever, all of a sudden, one night, it's magic. Mm-hmm. These guys just didn't have that. And it's okay. But I came away with the same thing. I was kind of like, this is fine.
Yeah. And you know what else didn't work? Was the Young Bucks weird chanty music at the beginning where it was like super yeah. kick knocks you out.
Yeah,
I thought I had had like maybe too many drinks out in the sun at my fantasy football draft earlier in the day and I was hallucinating it. First of all, super kick has never knocked anybody out, especially in a Young Bucks match.
Correct.
And that was certainly an interesting move. But yeah, like it just, it was good. It felt like there was another gear to reach that some of their other matches had been, and it just didn't quite get there.
Yeah.
And if that is as strong as criticism as we could provide, I think that's means the match was still pretty good.
Yep, I would agree. Well, let's flip to All Out. And I want to read something that a very smart person I know wrote. Fans will forgive a subpar All Out card, and Chicago will get over it if they run a B show. Book for the show that people could remember forever, not the one they'll forget by the following Dynamite. The lineup for All Out somehow being better than All In will be my Joker origin story. We sit here on Thursday night, Mike, and we do not have the full card for All Out. Big surprise. We have some matches, and I don't think the lineup for All Out is better than All In at this point. I am I'm surprised at what we got. I know there's some extenuating factors with one guy in the card we'll get to. But I don't I assumed there was going to be a tighter link between All In to All Out, bookends, two volumes of a great story, right? That this is, doesn't have to be everything, but the majority of stuff, there's going to tie in where it's like, you're going to give us $100 this week for two great pay-per-views, and it's all going to just connect. And they never said that. Tony Khan never said that. But in my mind, it's like, it makes the most sense. You're committing to and asking people to pay $100, which is not cheap for two pay-per-views if they're expecting people to buy both. And I'll put a pin in next. I want to come back to that. But it, in looking at the lineup as we record us on Thursday night, I don't get that at all. They feel like there's some link, but it just feels like All In's in the past and we're just moving on to this. And this is kind of the next chapter of these stories, that these chapters aren't as interesting. It feels like a Fighter Fest or Winter's Coming Dynamite or Special Collision versus this is what has been our signature pay-per-view of the year. Do you have the same impressions?
It's like you read the draft of my column because it is like, this is a good Dynamite, right?
Yeah.
This is the premiere of Collision or the 100th episode of a show. So I think I can safely put my clown makeup away and put my little my mirror that I would use to put on my Joker makeup. That can go away. We are in no danger of All Out somehow being better than All In.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go over this card and kind of, so I guess we'll go with a couple thoughts at it. Because I mentioned the thing about the price. I think, and they'll never admit this, I think that out of any pay-per-view that AEW has ever done, and maybe it's because All In just happened this past week, this feels to me one that Tony Khan is subtly saying, without saying it, never would, you can skip this one. Mm. We understand you just paid $50, but maybe some stuff will happen here, but like not that much stuff, right? There's the Omega Takeshita match, which I think should be great. There's a couple other things on the show, which should be good. But I think in terms of like, is this crucial? Does this feel crucial like other pay-per-views watch? You're like, maybe not be as excited, but there's this. And all of a sudden you're like, those are four good matches. I'll take that. That's worth $50. And the show is going to be great because they're always, the in-ring action is always great. But in terms of kind of that thing, I feel like this is one of those where it's like, you don't have, this is one, we get it. It's okay. If you buy it, great, but it's all right if you don't. That's a feeling I get.
I would agree. I don't think they're going to be touting the buy rates for this. Although anything can happen at sort of those post-scrum press conferences. Oh, we're tracking for like the best Labor Day pay-per-view buy rate in history as the world dissolves around him. Like, who knows? Yeah. That could happen. I will answer your question with this. I am going to Chicago tomorrow.
Really?
I am not even considering going to this show.
Okay.
Yeah. Will I wind up going? I don't know. Maybe if my girlfriend who does love me would go with me. But I apply a rule to concerts where I'm like, all right, if the band is playing 4 to 6 songs that I like, I'm going to that concert.
Okay. Yep.
I am not wrestling shows like 2 or 3 matches. Yeah. Like I'm in. Like what's drawing me in here? Mm-hmm. What is the can't miss? What is something you can't catch up on the next day on the internet on clips? This is a clip show.
Yeah, it is. It is. So you look at set list beforehand?
Yeah.
You do. Okay.
I do. That's you a like big to be why yeah. Set list like, FM, man. I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know. I like it after the fact. Or or I did use it as a show because I went to go see Incubus in August.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like I've heard most of the songs, seeing them 3-4 times. And I did Cheap Parking, and I'm like, what's coming up in the encore? Can I get out of here early? I'm like, yeah, I've heard Drive 3,000 times. I'm like, all right. And I'm like, all right, I'm good. I bounced and I like cleared out of that parking lot like you wouldn't believe. But yeah, I usually like to be surprised at concerts. I don't really like to know what's coming up for the most part.
That makes sense.
That's just me though. But I love set lists though. I love watching afters. Anyway, let's go in the set list for this show. All right. Again, this is as of Thursday night. So I left my column talking about Kenny Omega and Konosuke Takeshita. Again, I think this was hurt bigly by the lack of Omega not being there Wednesday. I think at circumstance beyond their control, I understand. I mean, I assume he's going to be in Chicago Saturday night, and I'm assuming they could probably fit something into Collision that they could have, unless they're focusing a lot of effort to all these other matches. I don't know really how many they can add at this point, but there needs to be something to add some more heat to this, because it's not just good enough to me that you've had his involvement in tag team matches and all this stuff kind of along the way. I need something kind of like just that last go home angle of, I can't wait to see this. And this segment is to why. That's my feeling on this. And I think Kenny Omega is going to win this. To me, my last line of my column or this preview was, it's a shame that this should be a great match and one that honestly deserved to be in front of 81,000 fans.
I would agree with you. In my column that I'm writing, let's just compare notes for other people listening. They'll love that. I wrote this in my all-in preview too. There are not many main event Kenny Omega bullets left in that chamber. How many big singles matches does he have left at peak Kenny Omega with the way his body is and the way his career is gone?
Yeah.
I wonder if the allure of a big stage singles Kenny Omega match is what they're relying on to kind of sell it.
Possibly. Yep. I think we'll get to one of the other matches I think they might have as the main event of the show, but I guess we'll find out how much they really think of this on Saturday. I know there was 2 matches that Coney Khan really put over on the media call Thursday. It was this one, and it was the Orange Cassidy John Moxley match. Those are the 2 that he really pushed as the one. So we'll see. I think the way he was talking, I think Omega is going to be on the show Saturday, and I think that will be a big hopefully we'll get the angle. Will it be too late? I don't think so, but I would like to see it sooner. But shit happens with hurricanes and stuff, you know?
Yeah. He was weather related and not health, like some of the other misses on the card, right? Okay. Right.
Yep. Yeah. Any other thoughts about Omega, Takeshita?
It's going to be great. And I want to take like 30 seconds to just talk about how much of a freak Takeshita is. Mm-hmm. He's 28 years old and he's this good. It is frightening what the next 5 to 10 years of his career could be, because he could do anything. It is the textbook definition of everything that you would look for in a wrestler: size, strength, speed, athleticism. He can do everything in the ring. He's not a native English speaker. Like, okay, who cares? But this is as good of a prospect that has come along in a really, really long time, at least to this audience in America.
It'd be a good test for AEW to see how far they go with him, because he's got everything to be world champion and be like a really good one and a good heel with Callis. And again, who cares if you can't speak? It's been the whole thing of like, try and get Latino wrestlers over, all this stuff. Like, oh, they can't speak English. It does it, like, if they have the presence and they have the thing, it really doesn't matter. It's all how you present them. If you're like, this is the guy, they're going to be the guy. There's a way to do it. And I think AEW is the perfect promotion for someone like Takeshi to be that guy, have a nice run in the next five years, with at least within the next 5 years to be champion, maybe less than that, three, and have like a meaningful run and be like, this is a main event player now for a long time.
He should be someone that they build the company around, along with Paige, MJF. I would say probably those are the three, if they can keep MJF. But yep, those are the three that they should be building around, and all of their plans should revolve around those three going forward.
That's a good start. I would agree. Let's go to the 8-man tag match that was announced on Wednesday. We have Bullet Club Gold, of course, Jay White, Juice, and the Guns against AEW Tag Team Champions FTR and the Young Bucks. And of course, on Dynamite, we learned the big secret. You know, why didn't the Bucks want to shake FTR's hand, Mike? Why did they just refuse them? Well, it's not drawn out. They said, oh, it's just heat of the moment. So that's gone. So they had this whole moment in front of people, and it was like, okay, this is just in the back. It's fine.
37 minutes later.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, I'm glad, you know, the Bullet Club Gold just happened to be in the next room apparently, and just happened to just walk over, perfect timing. And also, it's one of it's a total wrestling thing where someone is either doing a promo or they're in a thing, and all of a sudden out of nowhere, someone comes in right this way. And they're just like, oh, by the way, and they interrupt. It's like you didn't see the person being interrupted, never saw the person like standing right over there. It's almost like there's a curtain and they just like poke through the way it's presented. I think Dynamite has a streak of like, 3,000 interviews that have been interrupted by somebody. They never have a clean one, you know?
Their peripheral vision, not a strength.
Definitely not. So yeah, this one was kind of random. Again, this feels like a Dynamite or Collision main event, which is one of the things that I wrote down. The point I had heard made before, or in kind of talking about this actually, was on a Wrestling Observer Radio. It was like, maybe why not do like a multi-team tag team match to get Bullet Club Gold and the Bucks and FTR to do something, maybe some sort of link if you want to have them involved. But you have no AEW world title match on this show. You have no AEW tag team title match on this show. So, I mean, this is going to be a really entertaining match, but this doesn't feel like consequential. It feels like this is going to be set up for FTR and the Bucks to get the win, and you're going to get the handshake afterward, and it's like, well, that's your link to All In, and it's going to be just like, okay, I don't know, just it feels like a waste. I don't know.
Yeah, and also no women's title match on the card either, so the three as of now the three biggest belts, championships, call them what you will, in the company, not on the pay-per-view. Seems bad. But yeah, this is the like the Teddy Long memorial, not memorial, because he's still alive. Let's just throw everybody together in a tag team match, play it, and see if they can coexist. Yeah. Whatever. Like, who, this, like, truly, who cares about this? Like, I really enjoy the Bullet Club Gold more than I ever thought that I would.
I do too. That's another thing from your column, the All In One. I'm like, I completely agree. Like, it's just, they're just like wacky, weird guys, and it's so much fun. It's just, they're just obnoxious, and it's like not obnoxious in a bad way, obnoxious like I'm really enjoying this thing.
Yeah, I did not know Jay White had this level of comedy in him, but he is very, very funny and very, very good. He's also somebody that they should, you know, shoot to the top, and I think that there are actually plans for him, because he does get big moments with the right people and doesn't usually look weak.
Yep, I would agree with that. Yeah. I like when Juice Robinson first came in, I'm like, eh. But now he's kind of packaged with this whole group, even the Guns, like it's just like they're obnoxious, fun heels, you know?
They're great.
It's just really, it's really wacky. It's not like a goofy way, just a like the cardboard cutout and just things like that, and just how they mock like Shivani and stuff like that, and make him do the whole guy. It's just they've spent a lot of time kind of like, this is who we're going to be, and it feels completely natural. And that's what any of these characters are, right? If they feel natural, they have their connection one way or another. And these guys, they have it, you know. Yeah. And that's a really fun thing.
It's great. Like, the Guns look like two guys that share a Tinder account. Juice Robinson is like every dude in Florida, and Jay White's this cool guy from New Zealand, and it all works.
That's right. That's right. Guns up. So I predict FTR and the Bucks to win this, and then they do the handshake after. I'm very interested to see how the Chicago crowd reacts to the Bucks, especially if there's no Punk for sure on this show.
That they're getting booed, buddy. They're getting booed out of the building.
Yeah, it's funny that they put Punk's buddies with Punk's enemies, and this is going to be a yay boo thing. Like, it's going to be a fun dynamic, I think, in this one. I think they're going to get more into the interplay between the Bucks and FTR. Like, you know, someone does a tag to the other, going to boo, the other one gets cheered, you know, that type of thing. It's going to be kind of funny to see.
I forget who said it. Somebody put this on Twitter today, and if I remembered who it was, I would shout them out. But they said that their dream scenario for this match would be the bell to ring and FTR to just waffle the Bucks and then just leave for them to get just get rolled by the Bullet Club. And I was like, oh, yeah, I wish I thought of that one. That's good. Yeah. I would love to see that.
There you go. All right. So then we move to the match. I think we'll probably main event the show. I just have this feeling it's Orange Cassidy defending the AEW International title against Jon Moxley. Clearly, they are finding that the TNT title experiment just didn't work in terms of making it like an important belt. So I think they have really refocused the effort on making the international title kind of like the IC title. And that's fine if they're going to focus on that. I think with this long title run, really entertaining matches by Orange Cassidy and more than 30 title defenses. I think that they've elevated him quite a bit. I think that this elevated the title. I think the fact that Moxley is going after it, and I think will probably win, I think that elevates it. It's not just kind of a lower level guy. I think this is going to main event the show. I think it probably is the right time for Cassidy to lose. Again, talked about all the injuries. They've kind of made this thing over and over and over again that one of these days is going to get caught. And I think, you know, giving Moxley a run with a title like this could be, again, something interesting for him to do, a little bit of a change up, not the world title, but something different. But yeah, Cassidy is such a he's such a polarizing figure with some people on the internet. The AEW haters always point to him like pockets or whatever they call him, and they just don't take him seriously, but they don't like watch these matches where he's doing like really cool stuff. He can wrestle with anyone, bigger guys, smaller guys, lucha style, any type of style in there. He's good, and he never stands out in a bad way. It's always like, wow, this guy is really good. And I think he's kind of growing on people. He did that really entertaining promo at the end of Dynamite. He had not talked. That was kind of the perfect time for him to actually talk and say more than three things and kind of do a fiery promo. I think this is good. I think this is going to close the show on Sunday and should be good. I think Moxley is going to win. I think it's probably the right time for Cassidy to lose.
I have, in almost all of my columns, I've predicted Orange Cassidy to drop the title. And this is actually the one time I don't think he is. I think after that promo last night, which was great, I saw somebody say it was like a generational promo, and I would encourage them to like breathe oxygen from the outdoors instead of just their home. Like that was a nice, good, very, very, very good, fiery babyface promo. He is the MVP of this entire company. For a while it was Moxley, and I write about this a little bit in my column. Moxley carried the company. Anytime something happened and you needed somebody to do anything, Moxley showed up. Never got that vacation that he'd been talking about for years. And if you look at what Cassidy has kind of done in AEW to this point, he doesn't really have like a big win, like a signature moment. And I think that this could be that for him. And I think that they kind of need some goodwill, and he is one of their more beloved characters on the roster. Yeah, everybody loves Moxley too. So I think that this is sort of like the culmination of everything that they have been building to. He gets a win against the second biggest name in the entire company in a market that's going to go crazy for him.
Yeah, that's a good point. I could see that as well. Okay, I mean, the kind of signature win. And I thought Cassidy was going to lose to Swerve Strickland after it was Dynamite after one of the pay-per-views. I can't remember which one. Yep. But I'm like, okay, that's going to be it. Because I thought so too. I think they have to treat Swerve a little better. I think Swerve is one of those guys that if they just give him the ball, I think he's, and I mean, they've, God bless him, he's been able to actually like rebound from like getting loss after loss after loss. But like, I was surprised that it wasn't Christian that got put in the casket at All In. You know, I'm tired of seeing him lose. I want to see him win and have a run. Cause he's to me upper level. He's one of those guys I want to start to see interacting with like the upper level, just to kind of see what he's got, kind of show that he's got it. But yeah,
because he's got it.
He's got it.
It's not like we're dropping a hot take here. If you watch wrestling for 30 seconds, you look at that guy and his presentation and you say, that's a star.
Yeah.
I don't know why they keep saddling him with these weird stables though.
Yeah. Like it's strange.
Like the Parker, whatever, and Trench.
Yeah.
I only remember Trench because his name was Trench.
Yep.
And now Brian Cage and his weird face paint. Like this guy is a single star. He does not need the help.
Right.
Don't overcomplicate this.
Everyone needs a faction in AEW. Everyone needs friends and partners, right?
just have like a working relationship, you know? Yeah, you don't need to like come out with these guys all the time. And Mogul Embassies is a terrible name.
Yeah. Let's go on to another random match. We have Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions.
Oh, why are we going to talk? Let's not even talk about this
one. MJF and Adam Cole defending the titles, baby, against the winners of a Battle Royal on Friday's AEW Rampage. We'll spoil it right now. Do you mind if I spoil it for you? I'm sure you already know.
I have not. I have been unplugged doing my actual job today, so I don't know the spoilers.
Oh, would you like me to tell you who they'll be facing?
I would be delighted.
Dark Order.
Oh, okay. At least it got me to raise my eyebrows.
Yeah, Alex Reynolds and John Silver, that version of Dark Order, won a Battle Royal because Tony Khan loves Battle Royals. He loves tournaments. We had both a Battle Royal and a tournament announced this past Wednesday. He loves announcements, backstage drama, all the things that he loves. But yeah, how they got here, again, a Battle Royal for a tag team title shot, and Aussie Open is in the Battle Royal.
For the Ring of Honor tag team titles, not the AEW ones, the ones right. No one cares about.
Right, right. And so, yeah, this is, I think I used underwhelming, the word underwhelming a few times in my preview. I just, kind of what we saw on Wednesday, I was just the whole, I've been generally pretty entertained by the MJF Cole thing. It is very WWE friendly, as you point out, and other people have as well. And that's probably one of the reasons that it feels a little bit more accessible, as we've kind of seen this, you know, this formula before. I'm glad they haven't done the split yet. I thought it was going to happen at All In. That was going to lead to a rematch at All Out. And I was surprised that they're not doing this. I think we're going to get this for a while, considering Roderick Strong has entered into this this Grand Slam tournament for a title shot at MJF at Grand Slam. This is just underwhelming to me. It kind of feels like a low point of this angle, but it just feels like it feels like just the most kind of like like of the whole thing. And I'm sure it'll be entertaining, but I mean, Dark Order, those guys, Reynolds and Silver can go, but AEW kind of did a good job of like pushing them way off to the side, and they've been doing their thing in Ring of Honor. And finally, after, you know, a couple matches here and there, I think they had one match on Rampage, and all of a sudden they win a Battle Royal, and now, you know, they're getting a title shot. Granted, it's Ring of Honor. I don't know. There's just something here. I just don't care about this. And I don't know. In one of the companies, as Khan was talking about today, you know, one of their biggest angles and most successful stories. And he said at arguably their best, what he feels is their best story they've ever told on AEW TV, which is debatable, but that's something that he said. This just feels like this is the best she had. I don't know. I don't like this at all.
Pick any bad guy tag. Like, the Butcher and the Blade are better in this spot, right? Aren't they? Like, just, I don't know. I don't care about this. I can't really pretend to. I think we all know what's going to happen. Entrance, pander to the crowd, double clothesline, kangaroo kick, 1, 2, 3, we're out of there, right? Mm. They kind of can't run a show without Adam Cole and MJF on it, and I think that they just kind of shrugged their shoulders and said, this is what we're going to do. Maybe this is the interlude to this long simmering bro chacho, which is terrible. And I can't believe I said that. And people are going to hear me say the word bro chacho
forever.
This is just like a get us to the next thing. Bridge the gap. So I wonder, maybe something happens here. I don't really know what else could happen that would add real intrigue to it. I do love Roddy Strong's neck brace, though. I think that is in the running with Christian's turtleneck for the best inanimate object in AEW.
Yep.
And also, didn't know Matt Taven had that promo in him on Wednesday. It was actually pretty good.
Yeah, he can go. I mean, he can talk. He's been doing this a long time.
I know. So,
again, those guys kind of get signed, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, we're going to put you over here. for a bit. We'll talk to you when we need you. And then they're going to do Ring of Honor stuff. And now they're actually doing a little bit in AEW. We'll kind of see. What's your prediction kind of where all this goes? Who aligns with who turns on who? What is your brain tell you?
I never make a habit of listening to my brain because it's a terribly smooth object at this point. I know everybody kind of thinks Cole is going to be the one to turn. And that is actually what I would like to see happen because of a couple of reasons. One, babyface Adam Cole does nothing for me, like nothing. And two, we have never seen MJF like struggle through adversity and overcome something. Like, yeah, he talks about like dyslexia and being bullied and all that stuff, but he's still an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be the chance for the crowd that desperately wants to love him all the time to get the chance to love him all of the time. So I would like to see it happen that way. I do think this has legs, even though this is not for everybody. I could take or leave it. But when the turn happens, it needs to be big and it needs to be at a pivotal moment that has like more than losing the Ring of Honor tag team titles, right?
Right. Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, I'm wondering. I thought that that Strong and the Kingdom were going to align with Cole, and that was going to be a thing. I thought that was going to kind of move things along to All Out, but I think we're a ways away from that. But yeah, it can't just be costing the tag team, the ROH tag team titles. It has to be in a big moment. Perhaps it happens at Grand Slam. I have no idea. I think sometimes we tend to kind of forecast ahead, like, well, it has to be at a big pay per view. So could it be at Full Gear or Wrestle Dream or whatever, you know, and just like, so you kind of like start to work backward. And I don't know.
It's probably a Full Gear thing, right?
I think so. Cause Wrestle Dream, people don't really know what that is. And again, but again, it could be just a common AEW fan base. Like we buy everything. So if they're like, we're going to go for 140,000, kind of going back to my point a while ago about they seem to just appealing to the same fans over and over and over again. Instead of trying to bring in new people, they're kind of like, well, we could just put it in any pay-per-view because people are going to buy it. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll go with the Big E. I almost said Memorial, but again, he's not dead. The Big Meaty Men Slapping Meat match. I'm looking forward to this one.
The Big E tribute, let's call it.
Big E tribute match. Powerhouse Hobbs against Miro. I think this is I just hope this has it realizes the promise this match has for being fun. AEW does not have they don't have the big guy wrestlers that much that really are like impactful, right? I mean, like Hobbs has been so many starts and stops. Miro's been in and Miro disappeared for a year. Now he's back. And I think this is his most meaningful match by far since he's been back. And this is two very athletic guys, big guys. And this is a unique matchup we didn't think we were going to get, but we're here. And I'm here for it. I'm looking forward to this. Yeah. I think Miro is going to get the win. I also think, by the way, MJF and Adam Cole are going to retain the titles. Went back to that. But I think I think Miro is going to win this, and I think it's going to be pretty entertaining. I think it should be short, like, you know, Lesnar Goldberg-esque, like 8 minutes of
8 minutes.
Yeah. Not. I don't need an 18-minute, like, long, like, rest holds or anything like that. I just want two guys beating the shit out of each other for 8 minutes and the best guy wins. And I think it's going to be Miro.
If this match was 13 clotheslines, sign me up.
Yeah.
Right. Like I could not agree with you more. We have to stop agreeing. It's annoying and it doesn't make for fun content. But yes, that is exactly what this match should be. I feel for Hobbs because I think that dude is very talented. I think he has been saddled with some questionable gimmicks and booking.
I write about that. QTV.
Let's make him as hot as he's ever been coming off that thing with Ricky Starks. And you know what's going to be great is we're going to put him on this weird TMZ sports thing with QT Marshall, who has his place, like a valuable contributor, but the air was out of that balloon immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And unless they have a plan for him, just let Miro should win this because he is already a star. Let's see what he can do.
Yep. As I wrote, it's time to get Miro trained up to speed with meaningful impact. All aboard. Let's go from Miro. It's time to start moving this. Time to start getting a direction, meaningful stuff. Because when he's on, he's like, I want to see fully realized Miro. I don't want him to get to the end of this run with AEW if it does end and be like, what could have been? Like, let's see it. Let's get him in the mix. You know, time to start moving some of these guys up. Like, the Stricklands, the Miros, those type of like really meaningful stuff. And like, people things that look forward to. Let's see what they really got, you know?
Take the governor off the golf cart and let them open it up. That dude is a high-powered sports car.
Yep. All right. We have TBS champion Chris Statlander playing against Ruby Soho. As I wrote, I thought AEW really kind of dropped the ball with Soho when they didn't give her either the AEW women's title or have her win the Owen Hart tournament. And early in her run, she had that opportunity. I think that really just killed that momentum when she kept losing these big matches. You know, they just brought her over people really into her, like, oh, someone's finally getting her chance. And she lost and she lost and she lost. This Outcast thing has been, it's kind of run its course, I think, at this point. And, you know, Statlander, who I like her a lot. I've saw after seeing her on the indies so much. Someone that
she did all the Northeast indies. So yeah, I think you and I have probably seen her more than most.
Yeah, yeah. She was super talented. She did a last woman standing match against Ashley Vox that was for Limitless back in like pre-pandemic in 2018, 19. That was really, really good. Like it really like standout good. Not oh, it's a great women's match. It was a really good last woman standing match, last man, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. It was really good. You know, this run of champions, it's been okay. I think that Jade Cargill disappearing has been a kind of a letdown in that you didn't have that champion of like, oh, I want to get my title back. You know, whatever you want to say about Jade's in-ring thing, usually it's like when the champion loses, one kind of thing at AEW, you don't, the person that just lost is never like, I need my title back now. It's just, it is a long time for the most part to look for rematches. Jay just kind of going away is like, okay, so Statlander's, you know, defending the title, you know, 2-3 times a week or whatever it was at one point. Her promos, I think, it's kind of a strange direction with the forced catchphrases, and it just doesn't sound natural. You know what I mean? Like she's trying to get things over. So that's kind of like hurt things a little bit, but I think she retains here, and I think she needs some sort of some storyline or angle to really kind of like elevate her a little bit more. She's a great in-ring talent, physical presence, but she kind of needs something a little bit more, I think.
I think that this match could potentially be one of the better ones on the card.
Oh, okay.
I think that these two match up really well. Statlander is incredibly impressive and super talented, but still needs somebody to kind of build the match. And Ruby Soho is great at that. She's wrestled on TV more than most of the AEW women. If you kind of think about her time in NXT, WWE, tons of TV time. Even when she was on the indies, she wrestled the indies forever, right? She's an experienced, good ass wrestler. I do think that they, again, did not capitalize on Statlander's momentum. She beat Jade Cargill, who had never lost a match.
Right.
And it doesn't feel like she broke a Goldberg level undefeated streak, which is what happened. She just won the match and then kind of just hung out and, like you said, like tried to get some weird catchphrases over. And this is a very naturally funny performer. Like if you see her on any of like the backstage stuff or hear an interview with her, she's very funny. Like in the same way that like Trent and Chuck Taylor and all those guys are funny. Just let her be herself.
Yeah.
Let her be herself.
They kind of they went away from that connection with Best Friends and Orange Cassidy. It's kind of they were together and kind of she was kind of part of the gang.
Mm-hmm.
And she left, she came back. It wasn't like a thing anymore. I don't know if that would help or not, but yeah,
she needs a direction other than I have the belt.
Right. I agree.
And she's gonna win, by the way. She's gonna win.
Yeah. Let's go to another as I mentioned, a kind of a title that's slowly dying, the TNT title. Luchasaurus with Christian Cage and his turtleneck defending against Darby Allin. This match was made back in July at the Boston show, as just mentioned, Blood and Guts, the Royal Rampage. Another Battle Royal, Matt.
Another one, Mike. You don't say.
Yes, another Battle Royal. It was a, again, this is so long ago that Blood and Guts night happened, and that was the same week that this happened again. It's so strange, like, they had this result and it's like, okay, this match is going to happen in 2 months. Like there's so much other stuff to do. Like, it's just, that's a long time to wait. And he's been in like so many different, the whole like Nick Wayne swerve era, that's already happened in the time that he's got this title opportunity. It's just like a long, long time. You know, I think Christian Cage has been very entertaining in this role. In general, the fact that, yeah, when he, when Nick Wayne, he's doing the Nick Wayne promo last week, and he said, "I understand you have a, you had a father," and then everyone just pops like they know it's coming. Like it's like his thing. And that's like, it's funny, you know, it's just a funny thing. Like they just, that it's a, it's a, not even a catchphrase, but it's a hook. It's a component of his that everyone's like, "Oh, here we go." Right.
Christian Cage and the War on Dads.
That's right. That's right. Yes. And so it's been done. He's had good things done for himself. I don't think any of this has actually helped Luchasaurus at all. He's just kind of a guy that is a prop in this whole thing. I had gone back and forth on this. One thing I thought was Wardlow, who's kind of been MIA, maybe he makes a surprise return that'll lead to Allen winning the title. But I went with Luchasaurus retaining this simply because I can see Tony Khan really enjoying the dynamic with Cage enough, and that the title actually has like someone entertaining attached to it that has some legs where he might want to keep this going for a couple more months. I could be completely wrong, but that was kind of my gut instinct on this.
Yeah, I think I went back and forth on it too. I think that what he is doing right now is the best the TNT title's been in a long time.
Yeah.
Just by his presence. This is a guy that knows how to work a live crowd. Yeah, like you said, the promo with Nick Wayne, just even the fact that he said on television, "I understand that you've had a father," and he presented like that, like it was this wild, like, "Oh, did you know that this guy has a dad? Like we all don't have fathers."
Right.
Well, for the most part.
Yeah.
Was great. And the TNT title has, where would you say it ranks, like on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of how important it is?
One being
at this point.
One being most important?
One being zero importance.
Oh,
there's zero being zero
importance. a three?
Yeah.
A two?
Okay.
I mean,
yeah, I would say a two or a three.
If all of a sudden next Wednesday they're like, "We are retiring the TNT title." I mean, the thing that I remember the most for is when Brody Lee beat Cody Rhodes for it in that ass kicking, and then just broke the old title over. That's one of the best moments in AEW history. It was a moment. There's a couple of matches during that era that stands out, but in terms of like, does it mean anything? Clearly, they view the international title way above the TNT title. They just hot potatoed it too much, and talking about Powerhouse Hobbs, it's like took it away from him and put him with it. It has no meaning because they haven't really, it exists. It's barely above the FTW title.
The FTW title is way cooler because it's non-sanctioned or whatever, unrecognized.
True. Yes.
Just put this, if you want to rehab it, put it on Collision, make it the Collision belt.
Yeah.
And let those guys wrestle for it. And as far as my prediction for this, I think Darby is probably going to win. He's one of the few guys in the company that always has like a consistent direction. Good or bad, he always has something to do, and he's with Sting, so it's always important. The audience recognizes him as important, and the audience loves this little weirdo, man. I don't get it, but they love this dude.
He is always the perennial underdog fan favorite, and he's never a guy that's going to be heel. He can't, because people just love him too much.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yep. All right, another random title match that get added on Wednesday, Mr. Del Cameron. We have Ring of Honor TV champion.
Oh, yeah.
Samoa Joe defends Shane Taylor. I will add that or note here that Shane Taylor's had, how many matches has he had in AEW? What do you think?
I will guess less than three.
One.
Okay, so I was right. I almost said less than two.
This past January on Dark.
Okay, so that's like doesn't even count. That's non-canon.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So he won this opportunity in a tournament. Again, tournaments and battle royals on Ring of Honor TV on Honor Club. I have seen 0.0% of Ring of Honor Honor Club. I've seen none of it. And so he won this in a 4-man tournament, if I remember right. And the note here is, remember a time when Khan said he was going to back off featuring Ring of Honor titles on AEW TV? Remember
that? I do.
Didn't last much. Yep. Didn't last long. But yeah, this was Adam. Like, we're all like, what the fuck is that? Like, why are we doing this on this show?
I groaned out loud in my empty apartment when it came on the screen. I was just like, I gotta write about this one too, man. What the hell?
Like, Shane Taylor he's a good big guy worker, but he hasn't been on AEW TV. Samoa Joe is a force. And this is kind of, it's kind of like, again, this is the, we need to add something into this.
Yep.
And I don't know if a, you know, 6 minute match, I mean, maybe this is on the 0 hour. I don't think it's going to be. It's just,
yeah,
it
I don't
just,
think you're putting Samoa Joe on the pre-show, right?
I don't think so either. Usually the 0 hour stuff they'll announce like last second. And I don't know, like this just seems to be, we need to give Joe something to do, but why did this have to be it?
Why did this? We could say that about a lot of the things that AEW has done recently. Why does this have to be it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, again, this is, what is this? This is an exhibition match. Like, okay, cool. Like, I'm into it because I never am going to complain about Samoa Joe on TV, on pay-per-view, on anything. But it's just, again, like, this is it.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's,
yeah.
Just missing like that last, like the final finishes that would make this meaningful. And I think that you can get there, like you said, like with the Omega thing. All they needed was like 1 4-minute segment. Could have been backstage, could have been in the ring, whatever, something for heat. Like, you had time.
Yeah.
Didn't have a lot of content on Dynamite this week.
Yeah, it's strange where this week's Ring of Honor was highlighted. It had a 6-man tag team title match with the Embassy. I found out today, the longest reigning ROH 6-man tag champions of all time. So note that in your encyclopedia, everyone.
Props to them.
And it also had New Japan TV champion Zack Sabre Jr. defending the New Japan TV title again, when something like this would seem to make more sense for their Ring of Honor TV, because it is, you know, again, Ring of Honor TV. But yeah, strange stuff.
Why are you using Zack Sabre Jr. on the program that nobody watches?
It's a great question. I don't
know. That guy
know.
Is so good and
really
so
is.
Entertaining. He's unbelievable.
He is so much different. I'm not a big New Japan guy, just because of time to watch his stuff. But the stuff I've seen him in on AEW has been like revelatory for me. Like, I feel like I need to go back and watch some stuff.
Yeah.
He is so like, it's so unique and smooth and just like, I've watched him one time. Like, I love this guy. He's just so good. He's so good.
And he's so delightfully weird. All the weird nicknames he gives to himself, the bendy man, the long mover.
Yeah.
Like, he just goes on, you just give him a microphone and he'll just say shit. And he's the best. I love him so much.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's absolutely awesome. Someone else I really love, Eddie Kingston. I was really hoping that it would be Eddie Kingston versus Claudio Castagnoli on the show, because they didn't do it All In and they made him part of the Stadium Stampede match. Fine. I'm like, okay, it's going to lead to something here. Well, seeing to a random tag team match where three of the people were on Dynamite, but one was not. So it's Eddie Kingston and Katsuyori Shibata, the ROH Pure Champion, against Ring of Honor World Champion Claudio Castagnoli and Wheeler Yuta. And of course, Eddie Kingston defeating Wheeler Yuta to defend his New Japan Strong Openweight title, which I forgot he had on Dynamite. And this was made, I guess, because Claudio basically came out and walked around the ring and did not make any eye contact with Eddie Kingston and helped up Wheeler Yuta and went to the back, and all of a sudden a tag team match was made, even though Shibata was nowhere to be found. No inclusion, no nothing. He has been on AEW TV a little bit, but basically he's been on Ring of Honor. And I wrote, you know, if the reason to hold off the single match is to save for a Ring of Honor pay-per-view, shame on Khan. I said, shame on Tony Khan. If the choice was to hold it for the new AEW October pay-per-view Wrestle Dream, because that's some sort of tribute to New Japan Pro Wrestling, if they want something for that, I can buy that, but don't love it. I think Kingston and Shibata win this. I don't, this just, again, just seems like, we're just going to add some guys in here and have them do a match. And
I forgot about this, honestly. And that's like, I can't believe I forgot about a Shibata match, right? Like the guy that almost died in the ring and has now had this miraculous comeback. But if they are saving this for Final Battle, that is malpractice.
In December. I know that is. It's 4 months away. It's malpractice to do it to begin with, to wait. But it is 4 months away. Like, I feel like they are, as just going to give me, I mean, how do you keep this hot for 4 months? It's a waste. It's an absolute waste. It should be, if you're going to do a series of matches, have the singles match at All Out and then have another one at, do a series of three, do one at Wrestle Dream if you want, and then do one at Final Battle, which is the final battle. That's the name of the paper.
Mm-hmm. And Eddie Kingston can probably keep the heat on this just through his sheer talent, and just give him what, a minute and a half on the microphone, and he'll make you realize like how he still wants to kill Claudio. But yeah, like, that's so far away.
Yeah.
And for a company that books with like almost seemingly no foresight, that's weird.
Yeah.
Just you, it also, when you book that far ahead, is like you mentioned this with the Darby Allin thing too, right? So much can happen in 3 months. It's like the WWE not giving the title to Cody at WrestleMania, saying, oh, he's going to finish the story later. Like, what do you mean he's going to finish the story later? What does this do? Blows out his knee.
Right.
It's so much stuff can happen. You're walking these margins that are so thin, and you're walking the tightest of ropes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just strike while you can. Like, yeah. No one's going to be like, oh, I really wish that lasted two more weeks to made it 1% better. I just want to watch people fight, fake fight on TV, man. It's not that hard.
Yeah. I mean, look, I mean, to your point, Cody tore his pec and he was out for what, a good half a year. I mean, shit happens. People, we've seen, people pass away. Like, things happen all the time. They are human beings at the end of the day. So if you wait and you wait and you wait, you just miss out. And you can always, if you're a good booker, you can always reheat stuff later on or get back into it. But again, if you have this immense talent pool, this is what you want. Cause you're like, give me 3 months. I can do this guy again, this guy, this guy, this guy. And that's the whole point of having all this talent, is you can do these things and you don't have to wait for stuff all the time, unless it's a very special thing. The frustrations I have with some of the con stuff is it just so much stuff. It just waits and waits and waits and waits and waits. And then by the time it kind of gets like, okay, this is good, but it's not like it's peaking. It's the peaks that he has the issues with, because he likes to wait. And I don't know. I don't know if he's ever going to get better at that. I don't know what's going to make him get better at that.
I don't either, because they're going to get their TV rights renewed, and they're going to actually think about this. Warner Brothers Discovery wants more AEW content, and they're going to want more pay-per-views. Mm-hmm. So maybe having to book more frequently for bigger shows will cause him to have like more sense of urgency and pull some of these levers earlier.
Natural peaks.
Yeah.
Kind of like how the, you know, 12 a year rather, W model worked. Yeah. It's very possible. I think kind of may force him into doing that, and we can, you know, can only hope. We've not mentioned CM Punk at all, and I want to go over maybe a few matches that will be announced. We have for Collision, we have Ricky Starks challenging Ricky Steamboat, 70-year-old Ricky Steamboat, to a strap match at All Out that nobody thinks is going to actually happen. I think I saw someone talking about today, and they were talking like it was actually going to happen, like Ricky Steamboat was going to answer a challenge. Like, I don't see that happening. I don't know why anyone would think that. But obviously, this is going to set up someone coming to aid Steamboat or take his place. It's assumed that Punk is not going to be on the show. Tony Khan was very big surprise, vague about things today, mm-hmm. On the media call, that there's still an investigation going on, even though reportedly he was sitting right there. There's footage and all this stuff. Again, this, I wrote the Punk Elite fallout. I mean, that was like the Patriots Ted Wells report long of how long that took to like resolve itself. So who knows when this is going to, or even if Punk comes back, I mean, who knows what story people want to believe, what's going on with all these different things that may have happened, what he said, if he's done with the company. Anything could happen at this point, be like, okay, it makes sense. So I have no idea if he's going to be on Saturday show or Sunday show or not. But my instinct is that it is going to be Hangman Page in this spot instead, because why not just throw in another random match, you know, again, a random person here. He has nothing to do on the show. He is a former AEW world champion. He is someone that they really, to me, have put on the back burner for a while. And
absolutely.
So he's wrestling on Rampage, and this was his first singles match since a May House Rules show. It's been that long since he's had an actual singles match. It was a match that no one saw back in May. I don't fully understand kind of what's going on there. I don't know if it's all his Punk stuff or not. But he's obviously involved in our tag team matches and, you know, trios match or whatever. But I feel like he's going to get the spot, and I'm sure it'll be fine. It'll be random in a show of randomness. That's kind of what I'm feeling. And I also think, we're going to get a women's title match on this show. Perhaps. I think Saraya could not make the show on Wednesday because she was apparently sick. Both her and Swerve Strickland, and some other people were, I guess. Mm. If it's not COVID and if she's fine, I can see her defending the title against you know, one of the other women from the match could be Ishida, Baker, you know, something like that. Or I could see them not doing that. Who knows? What do you think?
I hope they don't. Not because I don't want them to, but I just don't want to write about anything else. I'm tired. And like I said, I'm going to Chicago.
Yeah.
Saraya's first title defense should mean something. It should not be added at the 11th hour is kind of what I would say on that. To the Paige point, that is probably the most confusing thing about the last few months of AEW, which is saying a lot because holy moly, the last few months of AEW, but he just kind of went away and he's so good and he's young. And this, like I said, this is a guy you build around. He should be on television every week. If he's not on TV, we should be asking, where is Adam Page? Which I think happened. And then I think people just forgot that he was part of the show. Like, I was surprised when they announced, like, the Golden Elite match, and Paige was like, oh, yeah, it's a tag team match at Wembley Stadium. And I was like, where have you been, my guy?
Yeah, yeah.
So does he come out to answer this? Sure, that would make sense. They are very good foils in terms of their alignment right now. Ricky Starks is fantastic. They need to do something with this guy.
Yeah.
Like, just give him a belt. Not of the non-FTW variety. This is a uniquely charismatic, all caps, superstar. And I use superstar intentionally because I'm good at this, even though it's my first time. Because this is a dude that will leave if you don't give him an opportunity, because who's he closest with in the wrestling world? He'll go work with Cody. Cody can prop him up. He goes to WWE. That dude is a star.
Yeah.
He's a star anywhere. He's creative. He's talented. If it sounds like this is an ode to Ricky Starks, that is because this is exactly what it is. He's that good.
Yep. He's another guy that needs to be, if this is a year from now, we're talking about kind of guys in that upper level, I'd be very happy seeing the guys you mentioned, Swerve and someone like Ricky in that upper mix, like that's your upper tier, and kind of get some of the older names out and have them go forward down. Let's see what this younger group has to offer, because they have a lot to offer and it could be really fun because it's new and fresh and different stuff. It's time to really elevate like a big group up there. That's what I would say. Yeah.
Pick three or four guys, three or four girls.
Yep.
And this is the next 18 months. We're focused on making them.
Yep.
Right. And they have it right. The women's division, Toni Storm, incredible. Statlander, great. Britt Baker, still great. Sheeta, great. People like Sky Blue. She's fine. Throw her up there too, right? Like there are people there that can do this. It's just, are they going to let them?
I noticed the change in interest was for me when the division got more hard hitting, and it seemed to happen after that Athena Jody threat match in Toronto, when people like, oh, people, women can get physical too. And all of a sudden she starts getting more physical. People are like, oh, this is actually interesting. So I'm like, oh wow, she's actually good. And then like Toni Storm gets more physical. Thunder Rosa, when she was around, was more physical, you know, just like, it doesn't have to be kind of this what people think of Divas era wrestling, whatever you want to call it, that there's actually like the women can get into it too. And again, it's not just, oh, it's women being women, quote unquote, being physical. It's like they're wrestlers being physical. And that's what is fun when it's different. And that to me is really what kind of revived the division. That Toni Storm run was really entertaining, you know, and cause she got to be violent, and that's fun to watch.
Jamie Hayter too. Right?
Jamie Hayter. That's what I was really thinking of. Yes.
You can see like these, they wrestled in Stardom. You can see that they're nuts. Like they want to do this.
Yes.
Like, speed at that level. Now, to be fair, like not everybody can keep up with them, but plenty of the women in that division can.
Yep. Yep. All right, so we have 9 matches on the show. I'm expecting...
my God, when you say it out loud, Josh.
9 more before anything gets announced on Collision. And probably a couple pre-show matches as well. And I guess we'll see where this goes. Again, this is their all-out, their signature show. And even with the Punk stuff aside, this just feels just like unnecessary and skippable. I never thought I would say that about All Out. It just, again, this is a show that 2 years ago did, you know, 205,000 buys on pay-per-view. Punk was coming back and it just felt like a thing. And they finally, they got to United Center. They finally get out of the Now Arena, bigger venue. And the show just, it just feels like just tossed together. And it's all because to me of All In, but it didn't have to be this way. And I don't understand why it is. And maybe someday we'll find out. Or maybe this is just kind of the way it was always going to be. And it's like, yeah, this is just not a good show. I don't know. This is a, I thought about it a lot after last night, way more than I should today, like walking around and stuff. And also I'm just like, why? I don't get this. And it was just like, why am I thinking about this while picking up groceries? You know what I mean? It's just, it's just stuck for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah. You put yourself into a, like a pretzel, just trying to make heads or tails of it. And I'm puzzled just as much as you are. Like, I wonder how much of it is injury and the constant swirl around CM Punk. Do we want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get in. What are your thoughts?
I love it. And I want it to keep happening because the content is truly incredible. Right. If 50% of what supposedly happened after Jack Perry's match on All In happened. Okay, that happens all the time. People work with each other that they don't like all the time. Now people be like, oh, it can't get physical. Of course it can get physical. This is wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, this is not me going into my consulting job and like slapping someone in the face because I didn't like the way that they said something to me. Like, I cannot do that. But I am not in a combat sport, right? I do think what needs to get sorted out is the amount of power he has over Tony Khan. Mm. And Tony Khan really, what it sounds like is he needs to kind of tighten up his spine a little bit and kind of remind him who the boss is and not be afraid of him walking out. Because I think that's kind of what it smells like to me, is this is a guy who is a little bit worried that his golden goose will take his bag and go home because he's done it before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's definitely well past time for him to kind of nut up. And I think for Tony Khan to do that. And yeah, a lot of this could have been resolved over the last year that Punk was out, you know? And whatever happened, but even before that, when there were stories and about there was issues with him, the Elite, and Paige. Like, this is as much as, and rightfully so, that people want to bitch about Vince McMahon, the buck always stopped with him. And he was a guy that sent Steve Austin home, you know? And it's like, what, it's as many dumb decisions as Vince has made, and he ruined WWE for a long time with bad creative. And he was apparently, as I think it may have expected, a pretty terrible person in all forms, you know, with all this hush money stuff and all this. When it came to being a ruthless promoter, and when it came to him being in charge of the company, he was in charge of the company. It is his company, and he ruled it with an iron fist, for better or worse. But Tony Khan could use a little bit of this, when he's like, instead of less hugs, more like, this is my company, you know? Granted, every company does not have to be run like WWE, but there was definitely discussions that could have been had with all the interested parties, affected parties, more than a year ago, to be like, all you guys are very important to our company. Let's figure what's going on. Let's figure this out. Let's talk this out. We don't have to all agree on things, but let's not let it get to this point. And then it got to that point, and it's been just this black cloud over them ever since.
It's never been addressed, and all the problems go back to that. It has never been addressed. It has never been squashed. Like, they know that professional conflict mediation exists in this world, right? Like, that, as well as crisis PR management, both of which they desperately needed and both of which they seem to have elected not to take part in. Yeah. Yes. What you said about how he needs to nut up. You're the boss, the guy that runs the billion-dollar company that is on TNT and TBS, that is sold out Wembley Stadium, can't be buddy buddies with all of the people that work for him. I know you don't want to hear it. You can't really be their friends, but you super can't be a fan of them.
Right.
And I think, like, it's well known he's a fan. CM Punk, he loves him. He loves all these guys. Oh my God, I love Kenny Omega. I love Chris Jericho, blah, blah, blah. The respect they'll never be respect each other on even levels when you have put all of these other guys up on a pedestal. It just doesn't work like that. It's like the power dynamic is backward.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point about the friendships and the admiration. The one thing that I was thinking about the other day, they have all these people they promoted in leadership positions along the way, and either they're getting run over, or they're not good at their jobs, or I don't think,
or both,
or it could be both, could be miscast, could be some stuff. But the other thing I was thinking about was, this is not the only organization that Tony Khan owns slash runs. So there's a professional football organization, American football, the Jacksonville Jaguars, is Fulham that they own. They, I guarantee throughout the years they've owned both these teams, and the Jaguars have been a dumpster fire for a while, so maybe this is a reason why. There are certainly locker rooms that there's guys that don't like each other at all. In every locker room, every championship team, there are players that don't like each other, but somehow they come together for the common good. They win titles, they win games, whatever, and then they go on their way, and years later in tell-alls and podcasts and things like that, they'll say, I hated this guy or whatever. And it's like, oh, that's interesting, whatever. I mean, look at guys like Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen basically went crazy and started riffing on anyone, but you know, you get the whole gist, right? I don't understand. So you have what? There's no experts or people that you can talk to within these organizations that have dealt with this before. Like, how do I make this better? Is it good to have these organizations to be from the outside, and you can go to them and say, I'm having these issues with here. Let me tell you this situation. I know you're not a fan of wrestling, sports executive, whoever. How would you handle this? And all these guys have money. All these guys have egos. They want to compete with, they can play on our field at any time they want, but they have issues because of this. How do we fix this? How would you do this? I don't understand why that is. Those conversations happened, not happened. Like, you have these organizations and all these resources that go beyond this. Wouldn't you just figure out a way to be like, if this really means something, I'm going to figure out a way to make this work. And I'm going to use my advantages versus, you know, not, I don't know. That crossed my mind the other day.
It's an interesting point, right? With limitless, like truly limitless resources, right? This is a billionaire that can do whatever he wants, that could get world global leaders. He could get the leader of France on the phone probably if he wanted to, right?
He's got Roger Goodell's number in his cell phone, one of the most powerful executives in sports. I guarantee his phone is littered with
that's a great point. Yeah.
Executives, WBD, like, They
probably has a direct line to that, to David Zaslav, who's terrible, but could probably be like, hey, do you want to know how to be ruthless?
Right. Dana White. He has talked about his friendship with Dana White before, even though, you know, obviously the UFC and WWE thing, I mean, it's not the best example, but even before all this stuff, I mean, this before the soon to be merger, that Tony Khan, Dana White, they've talked about each other before and they know each other and they're friendly and all this stuff. I mean, there's no shortage of people he could talk to and be like, how would you deal with this? Because guarantee there's other people that have dealt with this and be like, this is what I did. You either remove someone or you do, like, they have advice and be like, this is what you do.
I don't think the answer was separate the talents onto different shows, never let them interact, and continue to be like the master of whispers and like leak out these rumors and let everything go. I think it was just like every way they could have made the correct decision, they made the wrong decision, and like five wrong decisions in a row just exponentially made things terrible. I do want to go back to what you said about the Jaguars being a dumpster fire. I do think we need to maybe give people a little bit less credit here, because that is an organization that hired Urban Meyer. So like, that's judgment, like, how does it really? And he also decided, he's like, you know what would be great? Running a wrestling promotion, which is a psychopathic thing to decide to do, even though which, let's be clear, like, we've been a bit critical here. It's a good company. Like, the product is largely pretty good.
Yeah, it's like when people complain about Bill Belichick all the time, and then at the end of it's like, well, he did, has won six Super Bowls and gone to a bunch of other ones, and this, you know, this is kind of what you do. Once you're on the field, once they're like, we're going to do this promotion, and we want fans to take it in, we want media to cover it. I mean, this is what people like us do. It's fun. There is definitely value to them talking about us versus talking about, not to shit on them, but we talked about earlier, like Impact. Like, people aren't having these conversations about Impact Wrestling.
No, they're not.
Or MLW or the NWA. You know what I mean? Like,
well, they're having conversations about the NWA.
True.
But they're not like this.
No, it is. Yeah. It's quite a time to be alive in AEW. But yeah, we have All Out coming out a couple of days. Your column will be on our website in a matter of days. Perhaps it'll be either Friday or Saturday, depending on when you get it submitted.
We're looking at Saturday.
Saturday. All right. That sounds good. And before we go, I'll give you the chance to plug away. I know you're not big on the social media, but
yeah.
where people want to check you out or how much
if you would like to follow me on Twitter, where I really just tweet out the articles that I write and retweet this site's main account. It is @_DelaCamera. My last name, probably not the best one, but I like my last name. So that's the handle that I go with. Please read my stuff on the site. Please read all of the stuff on the site that we have. We have a ton of great writers, a ton of great content. And that's it for me.
Yeah, definitely one of the most unique last names I've seen in quite some time.
11 letters, 2 capitals, no spaces.
Yeah, look at that. You got the whole catchphrase down.
I know, right? It's great. That came out way too fast and way too easy.
Well, this has been a lot of fun. I hope your first podcasting experience was a positive one. Would you give me a 5-star review on Yelp?
Oh, my God. Yeah, and even like write some words on it. I wouldn't just mail it in either.
Would it be Yelp or Yelp, since it's spoken word, maybe a different one to rate other podcasters? That's came just off the top of my head. It's pretty good.
How do you rate other people? I made a Yelp page for my friend's house one time and I got enough reviews for it that Yelp actually contacted me asking for me to validate it being a real restaurant.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I had a lot of time on my hands at one point, so
not so much now. No. Well, have fun in Chicago. We'll see if you end up inside the United Center at some point.
Mm.
Who knows?
Yeah, if I wind up there, I'll give you a boots on the ground report.
That's right. Yeah, correspondence right from the ground. Mike Delacamera, thanks so much for stopping by.
Josh, thanks for having me. This was fun.
All right. Big thanks to Mike for dropping by and appreciate his time. Good to actually have an extended conversation with him. I met him a few years ago at an AEW show at the Aganis in Boston. He's a New England guy, as are we all, right? And it was good to actually have a good long talk with him about that. Hope you enjoyed that and hopefully have him on in the future. Enjoy the show if you are buying it. Like I said, it is it appears to be, to me, the most skippable show of the era of Tony Khan, again, since the inception of the company. And unless something changes tonight, and tonight being, I'm recording this outro on Saturday morning. So they could announce some stuff tonight. I don't think Punk is going to be on the show, but who knows? What a weird situation this has been, including some of the dialogue about all this. These investigations seem to take a long time, and the investigation seems to be doublespeak for negotiations on how we're going to deal with all this stuff. It's a mess. So a lot of things to talk about, especially in the end of that conversation. I thought there's some good points we brought up about some of the leadership aspects of other people involved and so on and so forth. So hope you enjoyed that. And that's it. Until next time, insert catchphrase here.